Well, good morning. Welcome to Birch Ridge Community Church. My name is Milt, and I am really glad that you're here today. We are talking about, eventually, we're going to get to the place where we start talking about King David, but I think we're laying some groundwork. We're looking at the world into which King David would be born in a couple of decades, and so we're looking at a number of things and kind of just laying the groundwork, and so hopefully you just bear with me. We'll see that it actually will tie into David at some point, and it really does connect. As we stop and think about it, and we'll unfold more of this as we go, but ultimately we're here to worship Jesus. Jesus is the great, 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 many times removed grandson of King David. And so we're laying that groundwork today, continuing in it. Kind of curious to me, has anybody ever seen some really odd labels on products you buy? Like I have seen some interesting things, a couple of them just recently, but one of them I remember seeing an iron, a standard household iron, and on it was a warning, says, caution, do not iron while wearing clothes. Do not iron clothes while wearing. I'm like, I'm glad it's there because I'm kind of a, you know, multitasker, like to time management. You know, if I can get dressed and iron at the same time, I might have just tried that. You know, I'm really glad that one was there, right? But the one I saw the real recently was a fireplace log. You know, the one that's wrapped in paper and you just kind of toss it in the fireplace and it burns for like an hour or whatever. It says, caution, risk of fire. I'm like, I hope so. That's why I'm buying it. I want it to start on fire, right? I'm like, well, I didn't really need that one. Or how about this one? There's a woodworking router. So if you were working in carpentry or construction and you're routering the edge of a board or whatever, you know, it's a actual construction equipment, right? And on one of those was a little white tag that says not to be used as a dental instrument. Like, I wouldn't even want to meet the dentist that would consider doing that. Right? And then there's the baby stroller. Caution, remove child before folding. I guess we could forget, right? And those are just some labels that we see on things we buy. I think about some of the comments that I hear people make, and it's just, you know, even some of them made right here. Like, brave soldier. Is there any other kind? Right? Do you really need the first word to describe the second? Right? Like, my, that sure is a tall giraffe. That's how they come. Tall. Right? You know? I was like, why do you say that? You know, like, oh, look, it's a striped zebra. Well, wait till the next one. It's going to be polka dot. You know, it's like, just we say all kinds of strange, weird things. Like, how about working mom? Right? Now I realize it's not Mother's Day. It's not May. But I contend that moms, you probably need more than just one day a year to be celebrated, right? And you do so much, and sometimes it's really good opportunity for guys to get some brownie points too, right? So, you know, some of y'all are probably thinking, you know, way to go, preacher, you know, but I know you'll rise to the occasion, take that beautiful wife of yours home and you set her down and you'll massage her feet and make her lunch and do all kinds of things. You're welcome. Right? But like, think about moms, right? Like, from the time they, you know, a lady has a baby, right? And then, you know, all of a sudden life changes, right? I've not been one, probably never will be, but I what I've heard, what I've seen is it changes. Like, right? All of a sudden now you're feeding the baby and changing diapers for like the first couple years, right? And then you get to the terrible twos and the trying threes, right? And you just do so much. I mean, you're sewing buttons, and you're getting up making breakfasts, and you're putting band-aids on boo-boos, and you're packing the backpack and making sure lunch is running them to every conceivable activity that these kids do nowadays. And you're making supper, and you're just doing all kinds of things. And then on top of that, there's a bunch of moms that do that after working a 40-hour work week. Right? So that whole oxymoron of a working mom, I mean, that's like a, do you need the first word to describe the second? Of course they work. They work really hard. And so I think it's a great idea just to acknowledge and give moms an extra day of encouragement and love and spoiling and all that stuff. So, you know, some of you, I've already talked to a few of you this morning. You're like, I'm already ahead of this one. I did this last week. You know, somebody getting flowers and all kinds of stuff and like suck up, you know. That's awesome, right? You're ahead of the game, but don't forget that massage, right? And so you're welcome, right? Moms need encouragement. And so today we're going to talk about a very special mom. But before we do, I'm going to ask you to help me recite our family declaration and we'll dive in. Okay? Here we go. Your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Therefore, I will hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. This morning, we're going to take a look at a mom by the name of Hannah who became the mother of Samuel the prophet. Okay? And our story is going to be, we're going to talk about pain. And then our story opens with Hannah's pain. Now, we all experience pain. Everybody agree? Not just physical pain, emotional pain. You know, we all experience pain. And so my prayer is that, you know, we're setting the groundwork for the life of David, but we're talking about specifically this woman named Hannah, who's going to give birth to Samuel, and Samuel's going to be the prophet that gets to one day anoint David as the king of Israel. Okay, so we're making our way there. But I think it's important for us to take this, like, where are we going with this? Where the rubber meets the road for you and I today in 2024 is we all experience pain and loss and frustration and disappointment, things where, like, we don't understand. And my prayer is that today this would help us get a better grip on that and that pain. So our story begins with Hannah's pain. If you have your Bible, I'm going to invite you to open to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we're going to begin in verse number 1. There was a man named Elkanah who lived in Ramah in the region of Zuph in the hill country of Ephraim. He was the son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuph of Ephraim. Elkanah had two wives. Not a good idea, guys. Okay? Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not. Each year, Elkanah would travel to Shiloh to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of Heaven's armies at the tabernacle. The priests of the Lord at that time were the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. On the days Elkanah presented his sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to Peninnah and each of her children. And though he loved Hannah, he would give her only one choice portion because the Lord had given her no children. Pay attention to that. Don't miss that. The Lord had given her no children. Okay? So Peninnah would taunt Hannah and make fun of her. Why? Because the Lord had kept her from having children. Okay? In other words, second time it says it there. The Lord had kept her from having children. Year after year, it was the same. Peninnah would taunt Hannah as they went to the tabernacle, and each time, Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. This was Hannah's pain. Just as Israel was a troubled country, so Hannah was a troubled woman. Now, I've never been a woman, pretty sure I never will be. But I could only imagine, that's probably a stupid thing to say in 2024, isn't it? You know, the world in which we live. But I could only imagine that one of the hardest things, one of the most painful things for a woman to experience is the desire to have children, but the inability to actually have a child. I could only imagine that to be one of the hardest things to deal with. And if that wasn't bad enough, Hannah shared her husband with another wife. Again, guys, not a great idea, right? This woman, this wife named Peninnah, had children while Hannah did not, and Peninnah would relentlessly torment and tease and make fun of Hannah. Could you almost hear it? Like, hey, Hannah, what are you doing? I'm getting ready to bundle the kids up and take them to the park. Why don't you get your kids in? Oh, that's right. You don't got none, right? I mean, just, she was relentlessly always taunting, teasing, and picking on Hannah. And so much so that Hannah just, she had no appetite. She was so depressed, she couldn't even eat. Now let's look at verse 8. So here comes husband to save the day. Why are you crying, Hannah? Elkanah would ask. Why aren't you eating? Why be downhearted just because you have no children? You have me. Right? Well, that's a real winner, right? You have me. Isn't that better than having 10 sons? Elkanah obviously just doesn't understand the concept here. But his attempt at kind words couldn't remove Hannah's grief. It couldn't remove Hannah's pain. Why? Because only God could remove Hannah's pain. Why? Because if you remember in verse 5, it says that the Lord was the one who had closed her womb. It was the Lord who had kept Hannah from having children, so he was the only one that could remove this pain. Now, why would God do such things? Had Hannah done something wrong? Was God mad at Hannah? But as we keep reading, I think maybe we'll see another option. And that is, Hannah's pain leads to prayer. Hannah's pain leads to prayer. Look at verse 9, and we'll read through 18. Once, after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli, the priest, was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow, O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. As she was praying to the Lord, Eli watched her. Seeing her lips moving but hearing no sound, he thought she had been drinking. Must you come here drunk? He demanded. Throw away your wine. Oh, no, sir, she replied. I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger, but I am very discouraged and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think I am a wicked woman, for I have been praying out of great anguish and sorrow. In that case, Eli said, go in peace. May the God of Israel grant the request you have asked of him. Oh, thank you, sir, she exclaimed. Then she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. Hannah prays with such intensity that Eli thought she was drunk. Nice, compassionate pastor, right? Her pain leads her to prayer. I want you to notice that. Her pain leads her to prayer. Where does your pain lead you? Because your pain will lead you somewhere. Where does it lead you? For some, their pain leads them to anger. For some, it leads them to bitterness. For some, to alcohol. For some, to depression. For some, to violence. For some, to drugs. Your pain will lead you somewhere. The question is where. How does it go? Your pain will either make you bitter or make you better. Where does your pain lead you? Hannah's pain took her to prayer. And then I want you to notice that Hannah's prayer leads to praise. Hannah's prayer leads to praise. Now this is, don't miss this. Don't check out on me like you're just an old Bible story. You gotta, don't miss this. Okay, this is absolutely my favorite part of the story. Okay? Hannah still doesn't have a child. She still has no children. She's not even pregnant yet. But did you see how she walked out of that tabernacle? She walked out of that tabernacle like she's walking out from Lamaze class. Right? She's excited. Verse 19. The entire family got up early the next morning and went to worship the Lord once more. Then they returned home to Ramah. When Elkanah slept with Hannah, the Lord remembered her plea, and in due time she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, I asked the Lord for him. I want you to notice something really, really interesting here. Hannah gives praise to God before her prayer was answered. Hannah gives praise not once her prayer has been answered, but once her prayer has been offered. See, she had a great big pile of pain and anguish that she was carrying around. And when you have experienced a great big pile of pain and anguish in your life, when you offer up a prayer, when you take it to God in prayer, you have done the only thing you can do. You've done the greatest thing you can do, because you have now placed it into the hands of the only one who could do anything with it to begin with. Amen? We all have big things. We all have heavy moments of pain and anguish and frustration and disappointment and hurt and loss. But I want you to notice, it wasn't like, God, if you do this, then I'm going to cut you some slack and then I'll worship you, then I'll praise you. Look at Hannah. She offered praise. Her pain led her to prayer, and that prayer led her to praise. She praised God not after the prayer had been answered, but after the prayer had been offered. Hannah models so well what we see in the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3 in verse 17. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. Hannah fully embraced these words, didn't she? She had no way of knowing what's going to happen. But she could relax and she could worship because she had done the best and the greatest and the only thing she can do. And that's to take her pain and bring it to God in prayer and put it in His hands, because He's the only one that can do something with it. May we learn that today. May we learn that the pain that we carry and the anguish and the disappointment and the hurt and the sorrow and the loss, that we shouldn't be walking around with that. We shouldn't be like, you know what, I'm a big person now. I should be able to fix it on my own. It's like, no, He is still our Father and we are still His children. What we are to do is to take it to Him and put it in His hands so that He can fix it. Hannah fully embraced these words, and now maybe we start to get a little insight, a little idea as to why God picked her to be the mother, honored and privileged enough to be the mother of the prophet of Israel called Samuel. And notice how Hannah's pain had a purpose. Hannah's pain had a purpose. Back to 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 24. When the child was weaned, Hannah took him to the tabernacle in Shiloh. They brought along a 3-year-old bull for the sacrifice and a basket of flour and some wine. After sacrificing the bull, they brought the boy to Eli. Sir, do you remember me? Hannah asked. I am the woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and He has granted my request. Now I am giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life. And they worshiped the Lord there. Now, we don't know, bless you, we don't know for sure how old Samuel was at this moment, but most scholars do come together and agree that he was somewhere probably around 4. Moms, what would you think about that? Like, you carry this baby inside you for like 9 months. Then you give birth and you go through all of that feeding and diaper changing. And you go through the terrible twos and the trying threes, and then you get to like almost like where they're manageable, and then you're going to turn them over to the priest, to the church, to God. Like, could you do that? Some of you are thinking in a heartbeat. For those of you thinking that, don't get any ideas. Okay, don't get any ideas. Samuel will grow up to be this prophet that will have two very distinct privileges in his life. He will get to anoint the first and second king of Israel. First, a man named Saul, and then King David. Someday Samuel will step into the very presence of God after serving God and the Hebrew people faithfully and honorably for over 40 years. But right now he's just a little boy in the arms of his mother. His little hand in her big hand as she turns him over to Eli the priest. Israel had what Israel needed, a prophet. And I think it's important for us to examine the question, and we may not all agree on it, but do you think Hannah, it's just a question, do you think Hannah would have been as quick to turn Samuel over to Eli had she not experienced such a struggle, such pain to have the baby? I don't think so. I believe it was the struggle. I believe it was the struggle that Hannah endured that allowed her to say, Lord, if you give me a child, if you give me this son, I promise you I will take him and I will dedicate him. I will give him back to you, God. I believe God closed the womb of Hannah so that he could one day open the blessings of heaven on earth. I believe he allowed Hannah to experience a season of struggle so that Israel could experience a season of blessings. We all have pain. Maybe you have just come out of a season of pain. Maybe you're flat out in the middle of a season of pain. Or maybe it's just around the corner and you're going to be there soon. Regardless, the truth of the matter is we all have various seasons of pain. I mean, Jesus told us about that, right? John chapter 16 and verse 33 says, I have told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. We're going to have lots of pain, we're going to experience it. And like I said, maybe you just came out of a season, maybe you're in it, and maybe you'll go into it soon. But regardless, I want us to grasp something this morning. Learn a few lessons and apply a few things from the life and the story of Hannah. And the first thing is this: don't be surprised by your pain. Don't be surprised by your pain, right? I mean, look at what Jesus endured. Who do we think we are to avoid pain and persecution, disappointment and loss, suffering? Look at the prophets of old. Look at the apostles. Look at all the God-fearing men and women who have gone before us. Look at the ones that were lit on fire as torches for Nero's sidewalk. We all experience pain. Don't be surprised by your pain. Hannah wasn't. I mean, she didn't get mad at God. She sure poured her heart out to him, didn't she? I read a story in a magazine about a man who was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease. And it's very crippling and debilitating disease. And this man wasn't that old, and he wanted to get out and experience and see as much of the world as he could before his body became too crippled and debilitated by this disease. And in the course of his traveling, someone asked him and said, do you ever ask God, like, why me? Why did God pick me to have this painful, debilitating disease? And his response was stunning. He said, no, I've never thought of asking God, why me? But I often say to God, why not me? You're God and I'm not. Just an interesting take on things. Don't be surprised by your pain. And maybe you want to write this down. It's not in your notes. Maybe it's the Facebook-worthy quote of the week. I don't know. But I think it's something important that we need to take with us, because so many times we think that when we're experiencing pain or loss or suffering that it's something we did. Like it's a punishment, and maybe God is like, you know what, you I'm going to give you that and I'm just going to be over here, right? I want you to write this down. The presence of pain does not equal the absence of God, as some and many suppose. The presence of pain does not equal the absence of God. Don't be surprised by your pain. And number two, treat your pain with prayer. Treat your pain with prayer. That is the balm, so to speak, that God gives us to apply to our pain. So many people walk around, listen, this might be you. This might be you. So many people walk around carrying the burden, carrying pain, carrying frustration, carrying the concerns, the wants, needs, and desires that are not met, simply because you continue to carry them with you instead of putting them into the hands of the only one who can do anything with them. James says it, doesn't he? You have not, why? Because you ask not, right? It's like so many of us walk around with needs and wants and desires unmet because we simply carry them around with us. Like we think like, God's probably got bigger things to worry about than my little problem. No, he really doesn't. He is very concerned about everything because everything is a big deal to him. Even if you think he is so busy, he cares so much about every aspect of your life, he doesn't consider it a little thing. So get rid of that notion that God's got better things to worry about. He worries about you. He cares for you. He takes care of you. He yearns for you to bring. Like as a father, as a mother, and a child, what is it? One of the most amazing things? I still remember the days when my kids were little, and they would come up to me and just need me to do anything. Silliest things. You know? Like, hey, will you help me button my pants? Whatever it is, the silliest things. But dad and a mom just love to be needed. Someday, all of a sudden, I discovered I'm not that needed anymore. So in those moments, I can only imagine how God feels. We grow up and we think, I should be able to handle this on my own. God's like, no, I long for you to bring that to me. So many people walk around with needs and wants and desires unmet because we simply carry with them instead of giving them to God. How Hannah models this so well, what we find in Scripture. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Right? Don't worry. Pray. That's the secret sauce, so to speak, that God gives us to apply to our pain. Yet so many people are like, you know, I just don't know about this whole thing. Prayer? I mean, maybe you're new to church and to a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you don't have one, or maybe you do and you haven't really discovered situations and times when God has really answered your prayers. You say, you know, I think it's just too good to be true. Can I tell you something? It is really, really good, but it's also really, really true. God answers prayers. And then follow your prayer with praise. Follow your prayers with praise. Today, if you have a God-sized problem and you take that to Him in prayer, you can praise. You can relax and you can worship and you can praise because you're no longer carrying it around anymore. You put it into the hands of the only one who can do anything with it. And the last thing I'd like you to grab this morning from this story is to trust God's higher purpose. Trust God's higher purpose. Hannah had no way of knowing what was going to happen. Isaiah says, for my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than yours. Like, Hannah had no way of knowing what God was going to do, if He was going to do anything with her. But remember, she praised after the prayer was offered, not after it was answered. But she trusted. She had no way of knowing what God was going to do, but she trusted God. She trusted that God was going to do more for her, in her, and through her than she could possibly ask, think, or imagine. Can I tell you something? That's what God does, and the same holds true for you. Just trust His higher purpose. It's okay to say, I don't understand, God, what you're doing. I don't understand a lot of what God does. His timing, His actions. I don't understand a lot of it. But there's a big difference between not understanding it and not trusting Him. I don't know what you're doing, God, but I trust that you're doing something amazing. That you're doing something bigger and beyond anything that I could ask, think, or imagine. And whatever that is, that problem, pain, that loss, that disappointment, that struggle that you're going through, when you put it into His hands through this thing called prayer, and you follow up that prayer with praise, knowing I'm not carrying it anymore. God, it's up to you. You can do whatever you want with it, and I'm going to trust you with the results. If you heal me, if you bring me through this, if you provide that, if you do this, then wonderful. If you don't, then I'm still going to praise you. We need to get to a place where we worship and praise God, not just on the mountaintops, but in the valleys below. Because He is the God of the mountains and He is the God of the valleys. You know, nobody likes to be in the valleys. Right? I'm pretty sure none of you go like, oh, that's the funnest time of my life. It's not. It's not. I've been there. But I think for those of you that have been as well, you will also agree that it's probably the place of the richest nurturing and growing and receiving love from the Father than you'll ever receive. I mean, He pours it out on the mountaintops, but as humans, we don't always feel it like we do when we're in the valleys. Because when we're in the mountaintops, you're on the mountaintop. God's good. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. When you're in the valley, that's when you can really experience and feel the warmth and the love and the intimacy of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Trust His higher purpose. One of the last things I'm going to say is this. True prayer. Listen. True prayer is not asking God to do what you want. True prayer is asking God to do what is right. That's what Hannah did. May we do the same. Before I forget, your reading assignment for next week is 1 Samuel chapters 9, 10, 11, and 12. 9 through 12 for Samuel for next week. So let me summarize really quick. So may your pain lead you to prayer. May your prayer result in praise, knowing that you've put it into the hands of the only one who can do something with it. And remember that your pain has a purpose. God's doing something. He does all things for our good and His glory. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. He is doing something even in the pain. Trust his higher purpose. Remember, we don't want a God so small that we can figure him out. We need a God that is so big that does things far beyond anything we could ask, think, or imagine. Let's be determined to worship Jesus on the mountaintops as well as the valleys.